I'd like to reiterate, what Kobe said, please come, because part of our mission, or part of what we're looking to do, is to hear your voices. We want to hear your stories about housing.
Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, anywhere on the internet at WFPR.FM and in the local Franklin Mass FM radio dial 102.9. Here today for discussion about this Building Equitable Neighborhoods for Franklin, otherwise known as Ben for Franklin, with a couple of the key folks. So let me welcome Lisa Oxford. Lisa, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, Steve. Thank you. And how are you?
It is quite a little bit busy here, but we're doing well.
Good.
And Town Councilor Kobe Frangillo. Kobe, how are you doing today?
I'm good. We got a lot going on in town. And,
oh, just a
I'm
wee
excited that
bit,
this is
don't
one
we?
of them.
So clearly the Ben for Franklin group is now got the website. We've got a couple of kickoff events happening May 10th. At the studio, and then the 11th, Kobe, you and I do our reprise our walk in the neighborhood next year, or last year, this Saturday, the 11th. But let's take some time and talk about, okay, what is this group about? What are we going to do?
Yeah, so if you don't mind, I'll just kick
Not
that
at
off.
All.
This came about, I mean, it's come about over the years. I think that a lot of people have been identifying discontent with the way that the town's been developing and growing or not growing, a discontent with the affordability of town, a discontent with the sustainability of our finances in town, and a discontent with the vibrancy and economic potential of our downtown. All of these sort of have culminated in these conversations where, okay, how did we end up with the Franklin that we have, and where do we go from here? And one of the things that we've seen over many conversations is, in a community like Franklin, it's very, very easy to say no to change and things happening in your backyard. And so you have a whole bunch of people that are very highly motivated to say no to things. And it's really, really difficult to get the energy to find, positive, proactive conversations about the way that Franklin actually does want to develop and grow and shape itself to meet some of the needs that were named. And so this has been named through a few different conversations. I think one of the turning points was the last year we did the Jane Jacobs Walk. Jane Jacobs was a community activist who was really one of the first people to be proactively sort of pushing back on some of the auto-centric development that's dismissed neighborhood connectivity and really naming what it meant to build neighborhoods and equitable neighborhoods. And so every year around her birthday, a whole bunch of people go for a walk. We did our first ever one in Franklin, Steve and I. That got a whole bunch of, it was a few dozen, a dozen or two residents talking and reflecting on how the built environment shapes town finances, shapes the way that we connect with our neighbors, shapes the way that people afford to live in Franklin. So building off that energy, there was an opportunity to have more of a conversation. And so I had connected with a friend at state level. There's a group called Abundant Housing who have some regional organizers who are helping communities like Franklin start to have some of these conversations. And so we were able to tag in one member there, a whole bunch of people who had expressed interest in the past. We were able to tag in. We were out at the last strawberry stroll and talked to a whole bunch of new friends who are also expressed interest in having some of these conversations. And so last August, 30 something people met at the Methodist Church and really just had a conversation about what their Franklin, their ideal Franklin looked like, and what they loved about the community, some of the things they didn't love about the community, what they loved about other communities, and places that they liked to go or places that they grew up. And what came out of that was a sense of, man, we need to start a group, right? We need to have more regular conversations and have people that are prepared to step up and advocate at public meetings for particular projects or for policies, as well as just educate and talk and learn and give a space for people to be more thoughtful, you know, residents to be more thoughtful about how the way that we shape and develop impacts Franklin. And so that group met over, you know, it was roughly once a month, and a few people sort of step up into these leadership roles. And what came out of it is this group. We landed on the name Building Equitable Neighborhoods for Franklin. We landed on a vision and mission and some goals and some elements of those goals. And now we're really excited to put ourselves in the public and welcome other friends to join us, start organizing some education events, and really start advocating for some policies and projects that we think can improve Franklin. I think that takes us to where we are today. How'd I do?
From my point of view, I think that's succinct. Alisa, you joined into this. So yeah, does that make sense to you too?
It absolutely does. And so I'm a lifelong resident. I'm actually third generation. And initially, my thought about building was, oh my goodness, you know, why is there so much? Why is there so much building going on? And I went on the Jane Jacobs Walk last year, and I heard you, Steve, and Kobe talking about density and how that contributes to a robust community. And I've sort of changed, so what it has caused me to just look at it through a different lens. And for me, as I said, as a lifelong resident, I feel that anybody who wants to live here should be able to. So that's why the word equitable really resonates with me, because we do need to find equitable ways for people to stay here, whether it's people who are on fixed incomes, older folks who are downsizing. We need to make that's what we do as a community. We welcome people, we help people, and we create opportunities for people to make their lives in our neighborhoods. So that's kind of how I got to this point. And when I look at the downtown, I know part of some of our conversations have been about, you know, neighborhoods that are in close proximity to the downtown. And I think we have a lot of opportunity in our downtown. It's just a matter of figuring out how we get there. But I believe that, you know, development is a good thing when it's done respectfully and responsibly. So that's sort of my perspective on all of it.
From my point of view, as part of this, certainly I've been part of the Jane Jacobs Walk. So Kobe invited me to do that last year. I willingly did so. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I'm going to do it again this year. And people may say, well, Steve, I thought you were just a reporter. You're just doing Franklin Matters. And I am. I'm here as part of the community resources that the studio and TV provides to help share the message of a community mm-hmm. group. I'm not part of the leadership team, but I'm helping to share that story. Obviously, on a personal side, it's been public. I've shared in some of the conversations that specifically with the Franklin for All series of zoning discussions that Kobe, Melanie, and others had participated in. I've shared my own story where we were in a two-story colonial and we were struggling to find the right place for us. Now that the home is empty nested, the kids are gone, what do we do? Well, long story short, we've managed to find a place in Chestnut Ridge. I want to bring some of that experience because I know others in my situation are going to be still trying to do so. And that's one of the things that, given our existing housing, 80% of it is single family homes. We don't have that senior housing, you know, right size type housing. And how do we do that going forward? Because we have such a built environment. there's not a whole lot of space left to just, you know, throw in a nice megaplex, if you will, of senior housing, et cetera. So to Kobe's point in regards to density, our opportunity is where perhaps we can get some additional state funding. That's always nice. If we don't, we still at least have some of the wherewithal in terms of the bylaws and the zoning in order to accomplish what we need to do. Because I think we've also mentioned in a couple of places, an existing building downtown or any number of buildings downtown, they look great. They fit well. If that building, heaven forbid, something happened to it, current zoning won't let that building come back again. And that in itself is an issue.
Yeah.
Did I state that properly, right, Kobe?
That sounded right to me. Yeah. I think what you're going to hear and what we've already heard is a whole bunch of people tapping into this conversation from different lenses. And maybe there's multiple lenses that get them interested in the conversation. Some people are just, I'll pick up the last point, are Franklin was a certain way. We historically had this thriving downtown where everyone met their neighbors and spent their time and money and came centrally. And some of the most beautiful buildings are no longer being built or couldn't be built today. And so some of us are coming at it from, all right, how did we have that? How did we move away from that? How do we bring it back? And I think that's a really interesting lens. Some are just coming from housing affordability. And, you know, there was an opportunity at one point, there were homes available at you know, starting prices and at lower rents and opportunities for particularly what we hear from a lot is our young professionals and our aging populations looking for spaces. If you look at the demographics of Franklin, we went from a fairly even bell curve to two giant hills and valleys where we've just hollowed out the young professional and our aging population because they can't afford to live in Franklin. And so, okay, how do you, it seems as though we've built rules that only allow for these massive apartment complexes or massive single family homes. What about those smaller infill type units and some people are just coming from that housing lens. Some people are coming from a climate change lens. And what does the future of Franklin look like? That's, you know, with less pollutants and less greenhouse gas impacts. And that's certainly has to be more walkable and more well connected by transit and a little tighter. And so it's been fun hearing some of those. And honestly, from my perspective, what really got me in, I mean, obviously, I care about all of those things that I've named, but what really got me interested in this is from a town finances perspective. We've built in a way, and we, you know, most suburban communities that look like us also did, we built in a way that was very sprawling. And what sprawling means is that homes and properties are spaced out. And so it takes a lot of infrastructure, roads, sewers, water, electricity, a lot of infrastructure has to go a long way to serve each of the properties. And the properties are 90%+ of our income as a town are based on our property values. And so we as a town have to have an equation where we're bringing in enough revenue to pay for the services that everyone wants to enjoy. And so how do we develop now in a way that actually gets us back on track to being able to afford the services, be it fire, police, schools, that we all want to enjoy. And so that has to look like continuing to grow. We can't say no to growth because that's how we make our money. So continuing to grow, but doing so in a way that doesn't further add to our infrastructure expenses and happens to have all these co-benefits of improving housing affordability, improving economic vitality of our downtown and improving vibrancy and community connectedness. So that's really the lens that brought me, but it's fun to hear people come at this conversation from a few different perspectives.
And to your point, Kobe, regarding downtown, again, having grown up here in the 60s and 70s, it was, you know, it was a very vibrant downtown and people did walk. We lived, I grew up on Ruggles Street, which is off the center of town. And my mom never drove and she could walk. She worked at Dean Bank forever. But she could walk everywhere. And we did. We walked to the doctor's office. We walked uptown to shop. And I think the walkability piece, it has so many benefits, you know, certainly from an environmental perspective, you know, for people not to be driving as much, from a health perspective, people getting out, moving and doing. And from a social perspective, people see each other downtown. And it was a place, you know, people would gather at the coffee shop. So they'd gather at the newsstand, Franklin News, you know, go in to get the morning paper. And it would take you probably 45 minutes to get your morning paper. You and everybody else, you were solving all the problems of the world. But that's community and that's social. So that walkability is healthy from several different perspectives. And again, I see a lot of opportunity in our downtown. I guess the question becomes, how do we tap into it?
Yeah, and I think even looking at the some of the historical photos, and that's something that certainly that was touted during our Jane's Walk last year. And particularly looking at some of the Main Street photos, there were buildings in Main Street that were 3 and 4 stories. And now there's only one building, if I recall, that is 3 stories on Main Street. So that's an opportunity to that infrastructure and density. You know, we can't necessarily add to the existing building because of the zoning requirements, et cetera. And heaven forbid that building were to have something happen to it, to try and rebuild it because of the setbacks and lot sizes, et cetera. Mm-hmm. We could not replace that building. And yet, to Kobe's point, the infrastructure is already there. The sewers are there. The electric's there. The water is there. We need to build up smartly, do it appropriately, and thereby benefit from it so that we can rebuild that community for the future.
Yeah, and I think you're starting to translate. So now, you know, we've been talking about vision and sort of at a high level, and the real, you know, difficult learning curve that I am as everyone else is, okay, how do we translate? Like, we have some general sense of the types of communities, what we like about Franklin, what we like about other communities, but how does that actually translate? What are the rules that are enabling or not enabling that to happen? And a lot of that is very unsexy stuff around zoning. And so we get to have, you know, this group that exists to have conversations in and amongst each other about what are those small tweaks? You named a few of them. You know, what are the restrictions on setbacks, on lot sizes, on lot coverages, on parking minimums, on, you know, space per unit or height, you know, to floor ratio, all of these, you know, small pieces that create that set the rules for how Franklin can grow. And, you know, we've made a whole bunch of changes over the past 40 years that I think have taken us away from some of the things that people like both about Franklin and about other communities that they enjoy visiting. And so having a conversation that really translates this vision into some of those more finite details is why this group exists.
Aside from a soundbite or two, the real work is going to be in these conversations, whether on a walk or on, you know, a coffee, around a community meeting or something, Strawberry Stroll and other community events. The details are so deep in some cases, you know, it you can't do it in just a soundbite. It doesn't work as far as I'm concerned. So that's where at least this kind of platform, we can tease it out. And then hopefully as people listen and say, hey, what's going on? They'll talk, hey, Lisa, can you explain a little bit more about this? What are we trying to do?
Right, exactly. Yeah, I did have a conversation with a friend the other day. And you know, I stressed, you know, we have no decision-making power, but we're an advocacy group and an awareness group. You know, we want to bring awareness and help people get that vision of help people learn about our vision for what can be, you know, down the road, and how do we get there? You know, and I think what the hardest part is, we all have a vision, and we know what we would like to see. The question is, how do we get there? And it takes a lot of patience and a lot of tenacity. We all have to know that we're not going to get there next year, but over time, we can get to, we can, you know, bring our vision to fruition, and allow for places for everybody to live who wants to live here, and live within their means.
Yeah, one of the things that we've started to talk a lot about is the idea of incremental development. People find, you know, when you freeze everything and make it really hard to develop, then when something does come through, it's these really large projects, whether they be new subdivisions or large apartment complexes. And what we've taken away is the ability for our neighborhoods to grow and evolve in a way that's much more manageable for people's understanding of the community, that's much more manageable for our resources, and, you know, fits the character of the community. And so that is, it's less master planning. It's not, you know, coming in and saying, here's, we're going to build this all tomorrow. It's changing these small rules to allow and welcome some of the things. And that'll happen over time. And a lot of it, you know, will happen on schedules that we don't get to determine. So that's what's, you know, maybe is a little less intuitive about it, but also more fun. And that allows us to have more active conversations. Mm-hmm. If you don't mind, I was hoping, Steve, that we could maybe read off the vision and mission and talk about where we go from here. So the vision that the group came together on is we envision inviting diverse, environmentally sustainable, and fiscally strong Franklin, where all can be engaged and find a home. We are aligned with the vision of the 2022 Franklin for All report. So Franklin for All was a study done by the Metropolitan Area Planning Council, where they came and looked at some of Franklin's zoning, and they wrote a vision right at the top of that study that we think captures a lot of how we feel, at least about our downtown, although we want to make sure that we're applying some of those principles not only to the downtown. And then the mission of the group is we're an inclusive community advocating for Franklin with abundant, affordable housing for all and a walkable, economically vibrant downtown and neighborhoods that evolve in a fiscally responsible manner. So some of that, you know, evolution, incremental development pieces that really ensure fiscal responsibility in our growth, as well as providing homes for people who we want to be able to stay in Franklin, as well as welcome to Franklin. This is, we don't have answers. That's about the extent of where we've made it as a group. You can go on our website, benforfranklin.org, and find that vision, mission, and goals, and some of the elements of those goals. But what we don't have yet is precise policies. This is just a launch, and we want to welcome everyone into this conversation. And I think you're going to hear a whole bunch of different voices around how we get this shared vision to come to fruition. There's going to be some differences in that. And so if any of this appeals to you, if you want to be a conversation, don't think for a second that this is a group who's figured their full identity out and you're either on board or you're not. This is a group that is just now getting their feet out from under them and forming that vision and wants to welcome as many people into that conversation. So we're starting with our launch event, which is on May 10th at 7 p.m. at Franklin TV Studio. So the launch event is going to have some speakers. We're going to have some snacks, a few activities, and it's really going to be an opportunity to learn more about us and start to converse and see whether it's something, a conversation that you want to jump into. The other piece that was mentioned is the following day, May 11th, a Saturday at 10:30 a.m., myself and Steve and a few other of our leaders in the group will once again be doing a Jane Jacobs walk. So this is a 90-minute walk sort of in and around our downtown. We're going to take a little different route than we did last year and just talk about some of the things that we see and have it be a pretty open discussion with anyone that shows up. We're going to be starting from the Franklin TV studios, working around there. And if you're interested, after the 90-minute walk and joining us for a sip of wine at La Cantina, that's where I'll be, and I hope to continue the conversation there. So if any of this appeals to you, please, please, please come join the conversation.
I'd like to reiterate, you know, what Kobe said, please come, because part of our mission, or part of what we're looking to do, is to hear your voices. We want to hear your stories about housing. We want to hear your voices, because your voices matter. Everybody's voice matters. And if you have concerns about housing, if you're finding it difficult to stay in town, we want to make sure that your voice is heard. There's always strength in numbers. Come and join us and express your concerns, share your point of view, because again, that's what a community does. We come together and we really want to hear from everybody. We sincerely do want to hear from you. So we hope that people will join us and be vocal.
I think that's a good point at this point to kind of summarize, and thank you for both of you sharing. I'll endorse that. Yes, May 10th, May 11th, hopefully those dates will work, either one or both with your schedules. Come join, find out more. There's also on the website, the link will be in the show notes. You can sign up to get further info. You'll be on the mailing list. So granted, we don't, as Kobe said, we don't have some specific policies. We've got an approach, and we need you to help us refine that approach to make it happen. Thank you both for participating today.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
And for the listeners, we do this because Franklin matters. We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. And by the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.